All right, this morning, let's read from a book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 37 to 40. It's going to a couple of, I hope you can read that. All right, okay, and the count of three, we will read together. One, two, three. The Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He puts a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go on these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag and in his sling in his hand. Approach the Philistine. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now, God, that you will begin to quicken these words, how you want to speak to us. And I pray that, God, it's not just be a mere words from me, but Lord, that let it be a word that with a double-edged sword, not only that you will speak to them, but also speak to me. And God, I pray that, Lord, through this, your word, because it carries power. Your word is unchanging because you are unchanging. This is so true because in our difficult times, we can stand on your word. Even no matter what's happening around us today, Lord, we want to believe that, God, that how through the life of David and Saul, God, that we can learn the things that we need to do and things that we should not do, God, today. Pray that you bless the words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In us, you know that this passage of scripture is just happening right before David met with Goliath. Do you know David and Goliath? Right, this story. So yesterday in our live group, we were talking, you know, and somebody have difficult time to pronounce this name, Goliath, you know, because they say, oh, in Korea, they call it Galaya or something like that, you know. So every day, it's just so we try to find like, okay, you need to remember this whether you like it or not. David and Goliath, this is a story that most Sunday school students will remember this because I remember this when I used to go to a Sunday school, even when I was not a Christian, right? But it's just amazing how God spoke to him and how David and Goliath even had this experience before their battle start. But I got to talk about today about these two prominent kings. Who are they today? You saw my title. Who are they? Saul and David. So these both were prominent kings in Israel. And there was indeed a huge difference between them. Saul was rejected by God, while David was a man after God's heart. And pretty much if you're going to read the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel and the second book of Samuel, you will see pretty much this story about both of them. You know, there are other characters, but these are the main ones that you're going to see again and again. Matter of fact, when you read their stories in these books, both of them actually involved in some grave sins. They were both terrible. They are both criminals. You know, today we amplify. I'm not saying bad about David. How come you talk about David? He wrote so many psalms. But at the same time, you know, this is amazing. If you're going to write a book about someone who's going to be so famous, right? Why you include all the bad things? You know, many of our histories, you know, your country or somebody's country, the histories are always rewritten. I won't name any country, but even in my own country, you know, it's the same. For those who don't know where I come from Malaysia. I'm a Malaysian Indian, all right? So we have rewritten the history again and again. Certain things I saw 20 years ago, it's no longer there. Because they found that, oh, it's not too much encouraging to certain type of group of people in our country, so they just remove it. So some of the parts, the new generation, they won't really get to hear what's really happened in the past. They only say all the nice things. And I would think like, if David's going to be, because David is such a prominent person, because God promised that the Messiah will come in the line of Judah. And David, remember we talked about who in the first place, the harlot, the prostitute, do you remember who was that? Started with Rahab, right? And then later on, we talked about Ruth. And Ruth married to Boaz. And Boaz is a grandpa of David. And we know that through David's line, how God preserved this lineage. It's amazing. If you finish First Samuel and Second Samuel, start reading First Kings and Second Kings. If you're going to preach on that. But it's because it's amazing how God in His sovereign power preserved this line. I'm so amazed. And because His words, when He have spoken, He will bring it to pass. Amen? Sometimes when God gives you a word, a prophecy, a word of knowledge or for your life, for future, sometimes it might not happen just right away. It might take time. But we, on our side, is to believe and know that God, in your time, you will bring it forth, no matter how long it takes. And that's how we're going to look at in the lives of David and Saul. My question is that if both men in some way were terrible, why was one rejected and the other been blessed? What is the difference between these two men or between these two kings? Let's read in choosing the next king. This is what the Lord told Samuel. First King Samuel chapter 6, chapter 16, verse 6. All right, let's read together. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, he's the first older brother of David, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Can you say amen to that? You know, this was the main discussion yesterday we talked in our live group. That the question we talked about in our live group is that sometimes it's like our world, whether you like it or not, it's so much compromise about how you look on the outside, what your hands can do. I mean, I'm not saying all these are not important. But many a times, you are pretty much, when you're talking to someone for the first couple of minutes, back in your brain, you know, your brain probably had different parts. The first thing is that you began to analyze the person, the based on the way they talk to you, the based on they wear clothes, based on the way they comb their hair, and based on how long is their hair, whether they're boy or girl. In 2 or 3 minutes, before you talk to them, and then if you are in the Asian culture, you probably will ask them first, how old are you? Just to put, you know, to see that, where can I put you in my category, you know? Should I give you more respect or less respect, you know? How should I going to even talk back to you or not again? Everything involved in the first few minutes when you met the person. This is how it is. This is how he said, don't judge the book by the cover. And this is what the Lord even told Samuel. Samuel is the prophet and he's like probably the last judge, but he's still the prophet here. And God told him, and because he saw the older son, he said, Eliab, because, you know, these guys are built up, you know, because he was one of the armies of Israel. And he said, wow, this man looks good. You see, this is the second time he's going to do a mistake. This is what the first time he did. He saw first Saul. He looks good, tall, handsome guy. He said, this would have to be the guy to be the next king. I mean, God didn't reject that. You know, God didn't reject that. He was good. When he started, he was really good. But we will look more detail. And here, one thing to take note is that whether you like it, you will be remembered by the way you respond to your circumstances. People remember you, not based on what you say, but because something happened in your life or some, I don't know what it is, but the way you have responded to the circumstances, it's what always people will remember you. Oh, that person. This person did this. I remember that. But here are some of the causes for the rejection and the election of these two kings. Are you still with me here? Hello? Turn to your neighbor, say, wake up. If you're sleeping, right? It's an advantage, those who are wearing the ear set, you know, maybe you are too loud. It's like you cannot even sleep. Right? The first thing is that I call it is the leadership style. You can see Saul's kingship was rejected because he was a man pleaser. Why I say, okay, let's read from verse 10. This is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. You say, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. He said that I regret that I made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction. When confronted, what did he say? He was given an instruction. He said that, go to this people group, the Amalekites. He said that, wipe them off. God said, don't keep anything. Wipe them off. I know it sounds wicked, right? But this is another preaching or Bible study I need to take to you all. God has a reason why he told them. But when Saul took his army, what he did was that he preserved the king. He preserved all the best livestock. And then he kept it. And then by the time Samuel came here, I mean, God already spoke to Samuel. He said that, man, I really regret making this guy a king, because he never followed my instruction. Do you know partial obedience is disobedience? Hello, are you here with me? Partial obedience is disobedience. I'm going, mommy, give me a few more minutes. I mean, like, you know, I'm going to do, honey. I'm going to throw the rubbish. But, you know, you're going to do everything. I mean, this is between you and your wife, right? But the thing is that sometimes God will speak to you something. And we say that, God, I think this is good enough. But God said that, but I told you to finish. You do this. And this is what exactly Saul did. He did went and killed the people. But all that he think is not so good enough for him. He killed all of them. But all the best livestock, he kept it. And then when Samuel came to ask him, why have you done this? He said, oh, I'm keeping the best for the Lord. You heard about fake news, right? If you read about Saul, this is what you call fake repentance. Why I say that? In verse 30, he said that Saul replied, I have sinned, you know, because Samuel told him, you have sinned again. I can hear meh, moo behind there, you know. What is all these things, you know? I'm sounding, oh, this is what he said, right? And then he said, you have disobeyed God. Oh, he feel so. And then this he said, I have sinned. But he said, please honor me before the elders of my people, before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. If you are from the Asian culture, you know about saving face, right? The Middle Eastern, they are not so much different than us. Face. Sometimes we are more concerned about our face, the consequences, than the consequences we will face for doing what, not obeying the Lord. Fake repentance. He said that, if you don't go with me, what will people think of? He was repenting, but it's more like, okay, I repent. But, okay, just go with me because I need to look good in front of my people. And he said, Samuel turned to leave. And Saul caught hold of his hem of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today. And he has given it to the one, to your neighbor, to the one better than you. Brothers, sisters, when we are unwilling, God will find someone who is willing. Don't be prideful. Be humble. When God wants to use you, think that as an honor of God that, you know, he have called you. He have so many people to, you know, he have not lack of people. And this is so important when God's called you, because he has a reason why he wanted to do this specific test. But you can say that, oh, but you know, God, I've been doing this for 20, 30 years. Let somebody else do, the younger one, let them do, you know, I do some other things. What do? I supervise. It's okay, it's okay to support. I mean, it's okay. But is that what God called you to do? I tell you, if you don't have a drummer, Pastor Jong will come and play the drum. I don't have to tell you. He will fill in that. I mean, he's been pastoring for 30 over years. Sometimes we came to a certain point, we think that, I don't want to do, this is okay, you know. This is okay. Because I can be seen. Too long I've been behind. You know what? God knows when to bring you to where. This is not the main thing. It's our achievement to be on the pulpit to speak. Because why? I mean, I'm going to put the musician and the song leaders, the vocals in a spot now, on the spot now. Sometimes easier to worship when you're up here. But you look at their life when you're worshiping together with them, are they still worshiping? Do you know some guitarists, I'm not talking about Pastor Dave, some guitarists, they don't know how to worship God when there's no guitar in front of them. Because they're only used to this, right? They don't know how to worship God. You know, it's important that we conduct life as a worshiper. We are called to be a worshiper. Amen? Whether you are here or not, I kind of like fast-forwarding what I'm supposed to say. Saul just want to look good in front of the people. Remember, the most fallen leaders start out always good. Right? You have seen them. And there's always this temptation when wealth, influence, and fame builds up. Somehow they feel they are in certain level, God has given them a license now to sin. Because they know God so much already, you know, so I can do whatever I want. And that's why you see them fall, because they feel like, wow, I've known God for so long. And bang, you don't know when the devil is knocking at your door. He's waiting. And it's so important that we don't slack in this kind of area. The more God use you, that's why he said, the more humble you should be. Amen? Tell your neighbor, be humble. Because why? The Bible says so. When you are humble, God will lift you up. Amen? When you are proud, he will bring you down. Because you need to learn how to be. Because you need to know that being prideful, you're thinking that I can do this. No, being a believer today, if you are a Christian, your life is about what God can do through your life. I mean, it's good. You need to do things with your own hand. But it's what God can use you, even as you have done that for 20, 30 years. Because God wants to use you differently right now. So when you know that, when you look back, wow, you know that this is only God can do such things to us. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? I'm not scolding you. I'm just being practical. Is that okay to be practical? Right? Sometimes we are up in the third, fourth heaven, you know, we don't know come down to on earth. If you have known me, I'm very practical. You know, I used to be the worship in charge when I was back in Malaysia. I used to be in charge over the worship department. You know, we got a lot of youths working with us, you know, in our music team. They are amazing players. I mean, like, they can just flow in the spirit and all that. And sometimes I'll get a call from their mom. Vic, can you talk to my son? The rubbish been piling up in his room for 2 days. Can you talk to him? So before they come and sit on there, I say, I heard you didn't clean up your room. Did you get a chance to clean up? Your mom told you 2 weeks ago. Oh no, Pastor, today I will do it. I say, it's okay. You don't need to play today. Go and sit there. What's the point? You are doing a lot of action out here. You can't even clean your room. You know, I always go back to check. You know, I got a helper at home, you know. Sometimes their drawers is so messy. I'm like, they clean up my drawers. I mean, my closet is all orderly. When I go and check their drawer, it's like just a bomb, you know. It's like, I have to tell them, can you stop for a while? Go and clean up your drawers. You're just not working for us. You need to clean up yourself. You need to, you know. Hallelujah. But you see here, in contrast to David, David's kingship was eternal. It's not because God said, oh, through the line of Judah that my Messiah will come, that God just chose David. But God chose him right even before he knew how his action's going to be. And he says that in 2 Samuel verse 7, reading from verse 12, the Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you and your own flesh and blood. I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. Basically, he's talking about King Solomon. You know, King David, he accomplished a lot of things. He got a lot of goals and things that he wanted to build the temple for God. But God said that your hands got too much blood. Because King David was a warrior. He said you got too much blood. But your next generation, you know that Solomon will build this temple for me. Sometimes, brothers, sisters, God may speak to you a promise. But don't be afraid that, you know, that you are given a season to accomplish your part. Because someone else, God will bring along your side to take over that. Either bring it higher or bring it stronger or bring it deeper. And God will give you another assignment to start. Because God knows exactly where to put you, how to use you. Amen? That's why when the time to come, God say release, you better let it go. Let it go. No, okay, we're not going to sing that song. But my daughter can sing that song. You know, she's amazing. And here he said that when he has... Okay, he said that in verse 14. He said, I will be his father and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with rod, wielded by man, with flogging inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him. As I took away from Saul, whom I removed from before you, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Amen. This is what he said, the Messiah will come. He said when, but and then the next thing you see that, this is what God promised him, seeing his love. But the next thing is that, when he was confronted by Prophet Nathan for his sin with Bathsheba. And not only that, he killed his husband, Uriah. This is a wicked guy. But David said to Nathan, after Nathan said to him, you are the guy who took away that sheep, right? He said, you are the guy I'm talking about. And he said that, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. Can you imagine how fast it was? Compared to Saul, he was more like he wanted to look good. But here, when David repents, he really repented. But God said, you repented, I have forgiven you. But there is a consequence you need to face. You know, 2 days ago, you know, suddenly my wife suddenly started talking to me. She said, you know, I'm... He said, people get a lot of wrong things in their mind. They think that they can do whatever and get away with life. I mean, our God is forgiving. It's true. He is such a merciful God. He will forgive you no matter what. But if you're going to do something in this world, there is a consequences. If you sleep with someone, hello, she will have a baby. You need to know what you're going to do with that baby. I mean, I'm talking about someone who's not your wife, right? So there's a thing that in our life, that things that we do, God will forgive. You are forgiven, but there's a consequence. If you steal, hello, police is going to lock, you know, look at, going to knock at your door. It's going to come like, you know, you still need to go to prison and pay for what you've done. But God has forgiven you. There's no problem with that. So don't get mixed up with our life and you know things that God has no problem forgiving you. But it's the thing is that are you going to keep doing it? The same thing God has forgiven you. Amen. And here we see David exactly, he know when to respond. He said, I know I'm the one. I repent. But there's some amazing part here. You know that God said that your son will die. Your son will die. You know, it is much easier if I had a choice between my son and me, I'd rather die than letting my son or my daughter die. It's much harder to see them die. But you know, the consequences of sin, what can happen to that. But since that time, you know, although the kingdom of Israel was strong and going amazing, but David's household was not amazing. Someone said he's a terrible father. He know how to rule the kingdom, but his own house was in a mess. Read book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and you will know what I'm talking about. He can't even control. His son even looking after, you know, to kill him. What else you want? Because one thing that he have done. But I like in verse 20, he said that even after, you know, he fasted for a week, but he said that, you know, he didn't eat or anything. And then his workers, you know, his slaves came and like, you know, tried to tell him, you know, king, you need to eat and all that. He said, no, he didn't even want to huge them. But when he died, he kind of like heard them talking something at the back. Say, your son already died. So what he did? He woke up, he said, he cleaned up himself, combed his hair, took some food, and he went to the temple and started worshiping. And when they asked, like, I'm so confused. Why did you do this? You were crying when they are son was still, you know, was sick, you know, nearly died. But now he died, and then you comb your hair, you clean up, and then you go to pray. We couldn't comprehend this. He said, he already died, right? What can I do? Can I bring him back? No, there's a certain thing is gone in your life. You need to let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Don't hold it on because it's already dead and gone. When God says you need to let it go, it's time for you to let it go because there's something else God is bringing to you. Amen? But this is what I like about David is that he went and worshiped God. Most of us, you know that you shouldn't have taken that thing. What do you do? You will stay away from God. Oh God, you have taken away from me. Everything is gone now. I have nothing. You feel more bitter. You feel more like you hate Christians already, you know, like, oh, that people, I just, everything say amen, amen, have faith. What I have also is gone. Why I need God anymore? But David was different. He went and worshiped God. You know, Book of Psalms is amazing, right? He just didn't write all the nice things. He write things about what the struggles he's going through with life. And then he say, at the end, always he ends always with a praise report. He say, I bless the name of the Lord. You know, he came to be my refuge. He protected me. He always end in praising God. Amen? Because he was a worshiper inside and out. You're not a worshiper just because you are standing in front in the pulpit. In your conduct, in every day of your life, you don't have to know music to be a worshiper. Hallelujah. That's not even when Pastor John talks about today, you know. It's not because we are focusing on money, you know, church need money, we're going to need your tithes and money, bring it out. No, it's for your sake. It's for your growth. You know, there are certain things in my life that I don't negotiate. For the last, been 30 years now, the day I became a Christian when my brother told me about what's the importance being giving tithes unto the Lord. What belongs to God, give it to Him. Being a student, what my dad will give me, I will separate them to give it to God. Even the time that I have lack of support, I've been a missionary for the last 18 years now. Even when we, at the time that we are lacking of our support, I will make sure that what I have committed to the Lord, I will segregate that. And I never had a day that I'm in lack. Amen? This is our God. This is our God. And this is the heart of a worshiper. We don't become bitter when things not happening according to what we want. Because God has a purpose and a plan. And this is what Paul says about King David. In Acts chapter 13, he said, then the people asked for a king. And he gave them Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God established concerning him, he said that, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Wow. Wow. How is that amazing that God said about you? You know what? I know you, Mary. God is saying, I know you, Mary. Because when I tell you something, Mary will do it. Because sometimes God will come to you. I'm not saying, Pastor Leon, don't do it. Say, Pastor Leon, can you do this? I mean, for God, God is kind of asking. Sometimes it's through me, but through someone, you know. You say, I don't do this kind of thing. Come on, ask somebody else to do it. God is okay, completely okay with that. But there's something that God is lining you for some kind of favor in your life or some kind of a blessing in your life that He will start you from where you are. And we reject in this kind of small things. He said that, how can I trust you with the bigger things? And we're going to look at the second part here. But before that, let me ask you a question. Are you like Saul or are you like David? Are you a man pleaser or are you a God pleaser? Do you even come to church because your friend come? Oh, today I'm not going to church. Oh, okay, like I also don't go to church. Huh? Because my friend not there. But God is there, right? I mean, like God is everywhere. But it's something else. We come as a body of Christ to worship Him. I'm not saying we don't disrespect man. You know, we don't listen to, oh, I only listen to God. There are people like that. Oh, I only listen to God. I don't listen to you. This is called disobedience because there is no submission. And we're going to look at life of David. David listened to God and he served the people. Amen? Many of time we see the man we call the anointed, we see them fall because they fail to submit. When they come to a certain place of favor, you know, money and influence, they feel like, I don't need to submit anymore because I'm the boss. I call the shot. Who do I need to be submitted to? So don't look at the outside when you are treating someone, because God don't look at the outside. God looks at your heart. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God looks at your heart. You know, many a times, you know, we talked about this in our live group yesterday. Is that a time that, you know, people have looked down on you? I say, wow, it happens to me even until now. Most of the time during the week, I don't dress up like this, right? So I'm very casual, you know, and like, you know, when I'm on this with someone, like, they always ask me, what do you do? What do you do, right? Who am I? I'm a pastor. I say that I'm pastor. Wow, you should see the next few seconds. They're going, their eyes rolling from top to down, like, you know, like looking back like, oh, what kind of pastor? Now, you know, because in their mind, they can, I told you, right, the first few minutes you're meeting someone, you know, I enjoy this, seeing people's reaction. I'm a pastor. Like, well, I say, what do you mean, what kind? They are different kind? Even you ask yourself, when you see, in your close your eyes, pastor means how you look like, you know? You have certain description in your mind. This is how a pastor should look like. Sometimes they don't care about what he told to Philip, right? He said, you need to be a man of one wife. They don't care. It's more the outward look. You know, the guy can have few wives, you know, don't care. No, it's like, we don't judge by what people look at you. I'm not capable of, I can't afford many things. But God just keep raising me up because I know that when God tells me to do something, I don't hesitate. It's just me and my wife, we are this way. That's why many people will ask us, how long are you going to be in Hong Kong? I say, wow, that's a good question. I still don't know. I've been here for 8 years. I never heard any next instruction. Or he said, you're staying because of your children here, your wife nowhere. I say, no. If God's going to tell me the next move, you're going to be here, I will go. Hello? Because nothing holds me except Jesus. I know when he takes me to another place, even I have to start all over again, I know he is so faithful. Hallelujah? This is our God. And because why I do this, because and I see God is blessing me. I mean, I'm not saying the material things. I don't usually promote this. But God began to give me a car. I don't have to pay all this. God gave me a helper. When I go out on the street, you know, they look at first of me, being an Indian, sorry to say, you know, people look at you differently here. And with a Chinese wife and the children, don't know from where, like Thailand, Hawaii, you know, like all different color. Sometimes when I take Natalie with you, they want to look at like, did you just kidnap this girl or something, you know? Because they couldn't comprehend how is all this thing can work out together. 3 years ago, a lady told me, he said, if you can, Pastor, leave this church now. Oh, okay, why? I said, no, you don't know a lot of things about this church. If you get a chance now, better you go. Oh, really? Wow. I just came. That's why it's better to go now. And she just keep telling me so many things. I'm thinking like, oh, really? Are you like smoking pot or something every day? Like, why are you talking? No, the church I'm going is better. They have a better Bible study. You know, they do many things. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. How come if they have a better Bible study, you're talking this way? You should have been here. You didn't talk this way before. Right? If you have a better Bible study, I would assume you'll be better than somebody else. I said, these are certain things, it's not acceptable. You're a child of God, so behave like a child of God. Not because I want to see an outward modification, but you need an inner modification. You know who you are in Christ. Amen? Tell your neighbor, pastor's not scolding me. Probably he's talking about you. I can see somebody already like going in here. The next thing is that in the midst of adversary or hardship, how did they respond? He said, David responded with courage. Say, David responded with courage. He said, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He puts on the coats of honor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around. And because he was not used to them, he said, I cannot go in this. He said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took it off. Do you know what's the lesson to learn from this? Don't try to fit in into somebody's shoes that was not meant for you. Are you hearing me? There are certain things, there are certain armors was not for you. Although you like the person, you like the anointing, or maybe you like the things they do. But God might say that maybe it's not yours. I have something else for you. I have another kind of armor for you. Or you might say that, I know you're going to be here one day, but it's not the time yet. Are you hearing me? There is a time and season in God's eye. So we need to wait for God's timing. Although you know this is your place. Because by this time, David knows he's already been anointed as the next king. And now he's talking to the king. But the king don't know he's going to be the next king. I'm going to rap out of this king. Saul still didn't know that. But David knew. But David said that, I cannot fit in. I cannot fight with this thing. Let me use what I know that I best with. Because as the time will come, God will promote you for different responsibility, different levels, when you are prepared. And here, listen here. He said that, how he have prepared him. He said, he fought with the bears and the lion. I mean, fighting, who fight here with lions and bear here? Hello? Nobody, right? Even dog, we start running already. Now here, come on. Bear and lion. With bare hand, he said, you know, he tear open. We're like, okay, you know. He said, he told the king, I have a testimony. I have done this. This guy, I think no problem. Because you know, fighting with a bear and the lion is already an impossible task. And the based on the way they responded to him is like, you are a boy. You know, you already know by this time, he was still a boy when he was fighting. There was no different by now. And this is an amazing thing. He had proven himself on the small things. Sometimes we need to prove certain things. God will give us the small things God before he promote us to take a bigger responsibility. Because why? Remember, when he was anointed, since the time he was anointed, God been preparing him. Hallelujah. And he said that later he went to the battle. Before he went, even his brother already despised him. And then king also looked down on him. And then he's standing with the giant in front of him, and he said, the giant said, am I a dog? You come with the stone? You know, he took 5 stones, right? Sometimes I tell the Sunday school teacher, hey, don't exaggerate what the Bible didn't say. They will say that, you know, he took the first stone, you know, he began to throw at the giant. It goes to the side. And then he took the second stone and he began to turn and turn. He swing at the giant. He goes to the left. And the third one, ding, 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 ding. You know, this is the one, the stone. No, the Bible said he took the first, although he took 5, the first one is already a hit. Amen? Because he know. He's not going in the might of his own. He's going in the might of God. Amen? This is how it is. He know that the battle he's going to fight, not by himself. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah? In his David's mind, the bigger the enemy is, the harder they're going to fall. Hallelujah? He said, wow, you're so good. Because you're so big, I cannot miss you. But hitting on his forehead, wow, that is so amazing. And he died. That is more amazing. How amazing that can be. And he said that, this is what he said, that who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of God? He said, who is this guy who talks again? Do you know that in the ancient times, your God is defined by who is behind the army? That's why they pray to many different gods. You know, they do a lot of things. So when they're defying the army of Israel, they're saying that your God is rubbish. I'm going to trash your God. How am I going to trash you now? This is what they will do usually. And you can see the zeal of David. He said that, how come this uncircumcised Philistine can talk against my God and my people? Dear friends, let me ask you, how is your zeal for the house of the Lord? How is your zeal for your brothers and sisters? Are you protecting each other? Or are you going out? Oh, yeah, that church, that people, blah, blah, blah. That pastor, you know, I don't get threatened with what people say about. I mean, I listen to advice, you know, I take different things, but I'm not insecure about what they're going to say. I'm not insecure about how many people come to the front, you know, whether, oh, they can, wow, more people when Pastor John come or speaker come, and the pastor will come, oh, nobody come out. I feel so. No, I don't regret this kind of thing because it's nothing to do with me. It's between you and God. Who I care? When you come, I pray along with you. I know my God. I'm so confident with my God. I'm so insecure in my God. Amen? And that's a way, that's a place I want you to come to. You need to come to a place that you are so secure in God, you know that God will take care of you, no matter what. No matter what giant coming in front of you, you know that God is going to one who's going to fight for you. Amen? Hallelujah? Are you still with me? And lastly, he said that Saul responded in fear. Give me 5 minutes, I'll try to finish. When he said that David responded in faith, Saul responded in fear. He said, on hearing the Philistines' word, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Can you imagine a king who's terrified sitting inside? You all go, fight. And then when David comes, huh? So small, huh? How? Okay, so at least somebody going to fight. You go. He's probably sending you, okay, just go and die there. You know, who cares? I don't have anybody to go. Since you want to go, please go. And he was terrified. And then see his jealousy. When the man returning, this after he killed Goliath and then the Philistine, he said after returning home, David killed the Philistine. The woman came out from the towns of Israel to meet King Saul and singing and dancing. The woman, they are so joyful because they killed these people and all that. And they danced, they sang. And this is what they say. Saul, you know, when they come back to the town, and all everybody is on the horse. Like, everybody's like. And then they say, oh, Saul has slain the thousand. And David, he's 10,000. What? Slow down already. Where David? And then he says here, Saul was very angry and refrained, displeased him greatly. They have credited, and this is what he's thinking, how come they have credited to David with 10,000, but me, 1,000? What more can he get? My kingdom? And then from that day on, Saul kept his eyes on David. Do you know, since that time, David had to start running for his life for the next 14 years. Wow, is that a long time? Before he was anointed as a king, but by the time he became a king, it was 14 long years. He keep running. Some part, he's even acting like crazy man. It's like so amazing, you read. You know, he's a great drama guy. You know, he can do amazing things. Somebody called David, he's the modern day gangster. That's how he was, you know. If you want something, hey, go and get it. Sometimes he's nice, but most of the time, if people try to go against him, he will say, okay, just wipe them off. You know, he's just a human being, you know. But God's been training him in an amazing way. Bitterness in your heart against someone can be an open door to demon to attack you. That's why it's so important. Don't allow bitterness. You have hurt, you deal with your hurt. Get God to heal your heart. Because as he grows, your envy grows, your jealousy grows. When he turns into a bitterness, it's just you are telling the demon, say, come to my life, just mess up my life. Because they can smell. How many of you watched the recent one, the Justice League? The Batman, Superman. Oh, you guys are so grown up. Oh, what's wrong with you all? If you go, I don't think I'm going to give you a preview. If you just go, you know, the whole story is about what? Fear. How the demons will come and attack you when you have fear. That's the whole story about it. And it's so true in the Bible. That's why God, every time we come to someone, he will say to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Amen? Tell your neighbor, do not be afraid. So in application with all this, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. Why self-discipline? Because it's important, God's timing. It's important that we wait upon him. This is what Rick Warren says. He said, God wants you to work in all of our life. That is the logos, it's a written word. And he said that he also wants to work in your life with Rhema. Does God still do miracles today? You bet, yes. But he does them in his timing according to his sovereign will. Believe that God is working in your life and claim his promises and move forward with his power. Amen? So let me come back to you again. Are you in any way like Saul, or are you like David? Your insecurity in life will produce fear. But when you are secure in God, it will produce faith. That's why Saul was so jealous against David, because the more he tried to push him down, the more God raised him up. And probably you have experienced this in your life. People have mocked you. People have said things to you. But don't worry. Sometimes the battle is not yours. Let them talk. David had so many times had chance to kill Saul. He came near, took his even tunic, you know, from him. And then he go on the opposite side. He said, Saul, my king, why are you trying to kill me? Look at this. I just took your water bottle, your water jug, and your cloak. I could have easily killed you. What happened to your strong men? All was around you. None of them can protect you. But yet, I will not touch you. You know, some people get this wrongly. Think that if they are anointed, nobody can touch them. No, I'm not saying that you don't become irresponsible. If you're doing something wrong, you need to be asked why. But here, David knew where his faith was. He knew that this is God's work. It's not his one. Even his guys want to kill him, he said, no, don't touch him. If I want to, I can kill them. At times, God will just make the people who make you angry, something bad will really... It's not because God make them bad thing happen. It's something really bad happened to them. God will check you. How are you behaving now? How are you responding? Are you happy? Oh, good. You see, God punish them. Hallelujah. My God is no. That's not our job to do that. Today, when you are placed down, you are forced down, you are forced to a corner, do not be afraid. Be secured in God. Because God is the one who raised you up. Be faithful when nobody is watching you. Even the little things you are doing, be faithful, because that's the part that God will raise you up to a place where God has called you. Amen. Shall we rise up to our feet as we pray right now? Hallelujah.